Hello,
everyone.
We've returned. Podrun America is back at it again. Here with Christian O'Brien, contributor extraordinaire, writer. This is Lex Vienna speaking. You may recognize my voice. And I'm just going to speak a little bit while Christian O'Brien prepares his statements to the...
statements of the State of the Union?
Yes.
While I...
State of the Twitter political sphere.
Uh-huh. I have my speech written, and it's ready to go. The teleprompter is prepared.
Just finished.
My tie is fastened.
Also known as a Fred Perry.
my daily Fred Perry. I changed the colors with the season.
Just finished a full day of editing. The video in question is... What's the video in question?
What is the video in
it's
question?
It's about art. I forgot what it was about.
It's about art, and it's about... Well, it's about various matters, all sundry. Kanye West, Dostoevsky,
the Joker.
The society that we live in. It's really all about society.
It's a very wide-reaching piece that'll be.
Ayn Rand.
Yeah, you keep going. It's a list that never ends.
Childish Gambino. Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, that's right. He's also in that.
And that's the entire cast that we've enlisted personally.
Orwell as well.
Oh yeah, Orwell was mentioned. I can't believe. Yeah, I don't know. All of those were interweaved together, hopefully in a way that is coherent.
But it's
a lot to package. But in the news today, Jesus Christ, the news has been, let's say, nothing short of eventful. We have Jim Acosta. We have the Broward County situation. We have the midterms. It goes without saying. Oh, Jesus, man. I mean, like, it's you lose count. It's just, it's been an absolute fucking onslaught of total political tribalism. And if you follow it too closely, you will be, you know, it's like quicksand. You'll be consumed by it. And it's very enveloping. On some level, it's kind of exciting, just because you don't know where this is headed. You do kind of know where it's headed. It's headed toward worrying directions. It's headed toward... bludgeoning the doors of pretty much entirely right-wing political pundits, which is exactly why consequences have to be met out for that, so as to send a clear signal that is, like, really not acceptable, especially, you know, on the part of purported feminists who are, like, you know, they are the vanguard, that we're going to be in the throes of the Handmaid's Tale if we don't oust Donald Trump during the midterms. And now they have a woman, Tucker Carlson's wife, cowering in the kitchen.
She was present in the home?
She was the only one who was present. Tucker was at work. His kids were gone, thankfully. So she was the only one. She thought it was a home invasion. And some protesters started flinging his body at the door, which prompted her to think it was a home invasion. Which, I mean, I guess it is. She wasn't wrong. The news kind of reports it as if she thought it was. But it was really just murderous protesters threatening to pipe bomb their home. So, yeah, it was kind of a home invasion. It was only at least home invaders want to take your stuff. Like, they want your, I don't know, your furnishings. They want your silverware. They wanted to enact violence on Tucker because Tucker espouses ideas that they think results in violence against illegal immigrants. And their reasoning is that Tucker Carlson should live in fear because illegal immigrants live in fear, which would make sense if Tucker Carlson was in violation of the law. And, of course, every moment that an illegal immigrant, by definition, lives here, they are in violation of law. So, yes, I guess when I commit a crime, and I do so knowingly, I am afraid that I will be persecuted by the law. That's how that works. So why should a law-abiding citizen who says as much be persecuted by what are vigilantes in their minds? That's a question I can't answer. Can you answer that?
Well, I thought it was interesting that the Smash Racism / DC Antifa page was taken down from Twitter relatively promptly, which is, I guess,
consistent. Oh, so we couldn't gather evidence on who was responsible for this? I wonder if Facebook would cooperate with a, you know, indictment of sorts, a subpoena. Would they do that?
Oh, to find out who's responsible.
To find out who's responsible, because Tucker Carlson is very, obviously, very interested in doing so, as everyone should.
There was quite a few people.
Maybe we got to get Crowder. He's good at confronting violent protesters. We got to get him to get on this one.
What you pouring there?
Some zesty lime Arrowhead sparkling water, which is free of calories, sugars, sweeteners, and colors. I'm very health conscious. Just that. That's all I have in this cup. But yep, that's the Tucker Carlson thing. I guess now that's the topic that has been injected in an impromptu way into the conversation. It's worthy of some, I guess, I don't know, serious commentary. And on that note, I would say that, I mean, what actually happened? Who are these people? I mean, we don't know. Do we? Do we know who they are?
Smash Racism DC.
Smash Racism DC. And, of course, they are, I assume, a group. Are they associated with Antifa? I assume they are.
They have the three arrows, which are, I guess, a secondary symbol of Antifa.
Okay. So it's like the neo-Nazis and the KKK kind of collaborating sort of deal.
There's a YouTuber by the name of Three Arrows, interestingly.
Is that a dog whistle? Do we have to
No. Well, they're
to go after him?
Well, they're left wing, and they did a video on how Peterson doesn't understand Nazism. But that's a tangent.
Okay.
Irrelevant.
doesn't understand Nazism. But most alarmingly, I guess, I don't know. I feel like we should talk about the midterms, but I would prefer to talk about what's happening in Broward County and Palm Beach. The latter I know less about. But the former, I mean, Broward County is somehow the most dysfunctional municipality or government that I know of. Certainly the most dysfunctional in the country. People use the term incompetent. It's obviously malice. It's clearly, like, in this instance, because she had already been what is her title exactly? Her name is
Brenda
Snipes. Oh, yes, the elections supervisor. She was ordered by the court to have her elections counting supervised by state authorities. For one thing, Rick Scott, he ordered he filed a lawsuit against her for this happening. But the question most pressing to me is why, after she has already been found to have violated state election laws, was allowed to remain in her position. And as I understand it, Governor Rick Scott had the authority to remove her from that position. And now he finds himself on the receiving end of that. I don't know if there was some sort of internal politics at play, but this woman who was asked, I wish we could play clips, but there's one clip in which she was directly asked about it. And she just kind of like threw her hands up in the air and I don't know what happened, whatever. I don't have to offer clear and concise answers that are directly pertinent to what my job entails. And similarly, she's out here now being asked why the ballots have not been, how many more ballots are left to be counted so as to ensure that these ballots are not being just, you know, they're not just coming out of nowhere, that they're not just being fabricated out of thin air and she's not just manufacturing them as they continue to spike and spike and spike. And I mean, this is a massive scandal that is certainly not is not to be ignored. And I just don't know. I'm just baffled by the fact that she was allowed to remain in her position. I just don't, like, she's somebody so obviously inept. I don't get it. Why? Tell me why there's no accountability in our system. Why journalists aren't fired when they tell abject lies, or when they are clearly engaged in lazy logic or flagrantly partisan logic. I mean, people engage in partisan logic all the time. That's by virtue of human nature. But there are some people who are just obvious partisans masquerading as journalists, and they aren't held accountable.
What I think is most irritating about those types of journalists is that they feign independence and objectivity. Because if you think about someone like Jacob Wohl, he's clearly acting in favor of Trump. So he bothers me less for some reason, because he's
what bothers me is the fact that he reflects that people are still, I mean, I guess it's just IQ, but I mean, there are people who are, they actually listen to this guy bark and bark and say nonsense all day long, and they just eat it up, they lap it up, and they support him. I don't know how he generates revenue, but he does.
But I think that it's more damaging to present the veneer of objectivity and, well, these are the true facts, when in reality you're clearly
not saying true facts.
Clearly not saying true facts.
Yeah, that sounds like an accurate synthesis.
Well, that's the reason I tweeted that out not too long ago about Fox News and CNN, and how Fox News viewers might understand that they're clearly listening to a conservative's perspective on the news, whereas in CNN they make it their mission to sort of market themselves as this ultimate arbiter of what is true and what is objective. And that's certainly reflected in their advertisement campaigns, namely the This Is an Apple one, which was
another
funny
fact that is brought to my attention, to bring it back to the Broward situation, is that there is only a 4% difference between the between Senate and governor, and that is the only country in which there is that large a difference. Not a single county in the state had more than a 1% difference. So this is a disparity that is just, maybe it's just a, I don't know, good faith anomaly, but that it seems very unlikely to me. At the very least, that has to be the product of abject incompetence. But I've never seen anything like this, where you can't even take a breath without some new fact arising pertinent to the situation. Another thing is the shady connection that the supervisor has with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'm not going to infer causality by virtue of just her association with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but I mean, it's not as if Debbie Wasserman Schultz is any stranger to political, shall we say, whoring than anybody else. So clearly, I think this could belie a gigantic scandal within the Democratic Party that is as of yet unknown. I wonder what, I mean, because this is almost cartoonish. This is almost reflective of what Frank Underwood did in House of Cards, where he dispatches the National Guard under the guise of a national emergency to polling stations across the country to suppress the vote. It's just like, this almost seems almost more brazen than that. At least somebody like Frank Underwood went to the labor of fabricating a pretext rather than just like losing ballots, inventing ballots, manufacturing ballots, illegally transporting ballots via trucks. And that's another video courtesy of independent candidate Tim Canova, who, yeah, by private vehicles with no chain of custody. This is seemingly unprecedented. Well, it's not unprecedented because she's done it before and she was found guilty of it by the court and then nobody fired her. What? Jesus Christ. What nincompoops are allowed to be in positions of power? Journalist or politician or what have you. We're run by abject morons. That's the biggest revelation of the last 2 days, that the pundit class is either acting in bad faith or so blinded by ideology that they can't get, they're too inept as to give honest or reputable takes, or that they're just very stupid in their own right. Either way, they have to go. And that's kind of what Donald Trump represents, I guess, the fact that they have to go and that people have already been recognizing this for the last decade. It's been brewing beneath the surface for decades. And somebody like Trump is the answer to that.
Are they the enemy of the people?
Somebody like Jim Acosta is arguably not exactly the best friend to the people. He's obviously an egocentric faux journalist. His place in the White House for this long has always baffled me. And the only reason his press pass was not revoked to begin with. I can understand the rationale on the part of the White House, which is that, okay, like, we got to get rid of this guy. He's clearly just hogging all the air in the room for the sake of compiling his own professional capital. And then expecting, I assume, to get fired and then become a martyr. This is always in his agenda. But the White House was kind of like, how do we get rid of this guy without being subject to criticism of the sort that we're attacking the free press, without validating that on the left's, in the left's eyes? And then they saw this happen. Well, now he's committed physical assault. We have our guy. We have our thing. We have our smoking gun, so we can do that. They didn't realize that how threadbare it was and that they'd probably have a stronger argument if they had just said, okay, the guy is just, he's not listening to the president when the president is shifting questioning to another person, when he's obviously asking partisan and rhetorical questions, grandstanding questions. That's enough. He's already violated rules to a sufficient degree. Somebody like Lucian Wintrich was kicked out of the White House. Was he kicked out? I think he was just not asked questions. Either way, he was incognito censored. And it's like, at the very least, and Trump does that too. We find parallels in every which way. There are partisans, obviously, in the White House press corps, and that's impossible to avoid. But at a certain point, you have to say, okay, is this person contributing to it at all? Is he asking challenging questions, or is he just in it to increase his profile? And that's clearly what Jim Acosta was doing. He obviously passed that threshold. Should have been fired then, and then we could have had this fight, and they would have said we're attacking the free press, because no matter what, we're attacking the free press. And maybe Acosta had a degree of hubris by which he thought, like, oh, well, the White House will never do this to me because I know what the consequences of them will be. And at this point, realistically, what are the consequences? They're going to accuse Trump of being hostile to the Fourth Estate, of assaulting the Fourth Estate. They've already been doing that. So what else are you going to say? There are plenty of Trump critics left in the White House. So because this particular, he didn't even ban the network. I suggest that CNN should resubmit a representative who is not going to be solely interested in their media profile. I don't, that seems sensible to me. But of course, we can't do that. We have to inflate it such that Trump is attacking a brilliant dissenter, a Solzhenitsyn of sorts. He's this he's the new martyr. He's standing bravely for the freedom of the press. I mean, he has tweets to this effect. Of course, he's going to try to curry that image, that perception. I mean, on the 29th, he tweets, "We are not the enemy of the people. I am not your enemy. You are not my enemy. It is wrong." So, as I read this kind of stuff, this Grant, this obviously political partisan stuff, it's, and then you see on the same side these people who are very mad about somebody's obviously partisan, like Hannity, doing a rally with Trump, which he didn't intend to do, whatever. But it was never any secret to anybody that Sean Hannity was somebody who carried water for Donald Trump. We knew this from the beginning. Why is it that they sit around and they pretend that Acosta, who is actually a nonpartisan journalist, quote unquote, gets kicked out for being obviously partisan, obviously an opinion journalist, but yet they're feigning anger that somebody like Sean Hannity is stumping for Trump? Duh, Sean Hannity stumps for Trump every night of the week.
So what do you think about this?
So much gaslighting.
What do you think about this tweet from Susan Hennessy, who's a CNN analyst contributor? "This is a disgraceful and unacceptable attack on free and independent press. The rest of the White House press corps should stand with their colleague, CNN analyst. The rest of the White House press corps should stand with their colleague Acosta and refuse to participate in any briefing until this appalling decision is reversed." So she's saying the press corps should not
function. And then they proceed to do that. And then the headlines are going to say Trump cows entire press corps into silence. And then he silenced them. And now there is no opposition to this fascist, this tyrannical president, this runaway presidency. There's no check on him now. Did anybody co-sign this? What is the reaction in the replies?
5,000 favorites, 1,000 retweets.
Is there a ratio?
No, she was mostly met with
effusive praise.
Praise, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Trump, I know one person, I can name one person who'd be very happy to hear about that. Donald Trump. Yeah. Oh my God. So I guess, yes, let's abandon our duties because Acosta, the great Acosta, he was Spartacus. Acosta was Spartacus.
Speaking of assaulting women, did you see the controversy with this gaming channel in which
one guy killed an NPC, a female NPC?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And it was also confirmed, by the way, he appealed it and it was confirmed that was an intentional censorship or
censoring. Yeah, I mean,
his next video is actually really funny. His next video, his first video after getting his channel reinstated was Red Dead Redemption 2 - deporting a Mexican.
I mean, at least he's willing to fall on the sword.
His videos are pretty funny.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I will say that with how many women in the original Red Dead that I've tied up and filleted, I should probably be indicted by the actual police. You know, not that I relished it or anything, just a video game. So, with that having been said, there are a couple other things. I'm going to browse my Twitter that I want to talk about that I tweeted about for those who have not followed me at Real Christian OB on Twitter, not plugging it or anything. I've been very fond of tweeting today. I moved away from the mic. I hope that does not interfere with the quality of the audio. Oh, we could also talk about Nothany DeBaitano.
Yes, Fantano.
Yes, indeed. He is a very interesting character who doesn't cope very well. I mean, period, probably, but specifically in response to criticism. This is a simmering beef. That is metastasized into a full-blown ulcer.
I feel like the last Pod Ruin America was about Fantano.
Was it?
Yeah, but there was a segment.
Well, I mean, this is something that just happened.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to mention it.
Yeah, but it's just funny that you'll see the...
Well, it's just coincidental. I obviously set out with the plan talking about Broward in more depth.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's funny.
So Fantano tweets out, "S. Crowder, can you stop being a coward and just debate Sam Cedar already?" To which Christian O'Brien, through the account of 1791, responds, "You're going to talk about debates, huh?" And Fantano responds, "There's no reason in giving an album nobody knows about a zero. And there's no reason to dunk on Conservatard nobody watches." And then he follows that up with, Also, you're just a hardcore TND fan in disguise. So why is your bitch ass still playing like you don't love me? I can't debate someone that's being disingenuous from the outset. Come on, dude. Just admit, you love me and you want to be my friend.
Okay. Well, first of all, if I wanted to be your friend, I don't think it'd be a very strange starting point to begin with criticism. If I wanted to be your friend, I'd be adding you saying, oh man, love your videos. I'd be commenting on them. Only time I've commented on Anthony Fantano's videos has been critically. I've seen a couple of his videos. In fact, it so happens that I'm actually not a substantial fan. I've liked a few of his videos. I think that some of his reviews are thoughtful. I just generally don't watch YouTube. But he is a guy with a substantial platform who keeps trying to wade into politics. And in this particular instance, giant fucking hypocrite wading in, criticizing Crowder for his refusal to debate Sam Cedar. And Sam Cedar is a... By the way, it should be noted that Sam Cedar is a considerably smaller YouTube channel than Steven Crowder. So the rationale that Fantano here employs is hypocritical, to say the least. He's thinking, okay, we're a smaller channel than him, so therefore we're unworthy of debate. Evidently, we're not unworthy of being attacked, of him, you know, responding to my personal account, of him denigrating us. But we're unworthy of I didn't even frame it as a debate, per se, although it probably would have resulted in that, if I'm being honest. But nevertheless, I framed it as a conversation, and, you know, I was nothing if not diplomatic. And he responds with infantile denigration. For reasons I don't understand fully. It's just overinflated. And in response, at first, that, you know, his original tweet about, you know, challenging S. Crowder got 52 favorites. My reply received 130, despite the disparity of Fantano having, like, what, near 500,000 Twitter followers and us having 14.1K, which just indicates how dissatisfied people are with a guy who purports to be so reasonable, who puts a great deal of thought into his music reviews, but who is just so unbearably, arrogantly self-assured of his own superiority and, like, his argument's truth, that he feels he can just lambast people for criticizing him slightly. And it didn't work out. And then, so his response, somewhat pathetically, got 5 favorites. I reply, could you make this just a little bit harder for yourself, Anthony? That gets 37. Just speaks to the fact that somebody, and maybe some people are thinking, okay, I don't want to hear about this music reviewer at length, but it's still, to me, indicative of the fact that, like, this guy, a lot of people are, obviously the political climate is such that everyone suddenly wants to express their political opinions without having actually done any studying of the topic. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And Anthony Fantano is a clear example of somebody with a massive platform in whom a lot of people invest a lot of interest and for whom he carries a lot of weight to be commenting so authoritatively and so angrily on politics, and he's not even willing to have his assumptions challenged publicly. Because realistically, he's just not that confident in what he believes. And that's a lot of people. And so there's an increasing criticism of people on the right for being unwilling to debate or what have you, even though, you know, the opposite is obviously true. I feel like I don't have to explain that to our listeners. But for some reason, he feels as if, the thinking is that he thinks that Crowder is a weaker debate opponent to Sam Cedar, who we actually did see debate Charlie Kirk. And in my opinion, I wasn't especially entertained, but in my opinion, I don't think that Sam Cedar at any point, maybe a couple, got the better hand of Charlie Kirk, who, you know, people don't consider a robust intellectual. That aside, it's like, he considers Sam Cedar a superior debate opponent. And he thinks that Crowder is avoiding him out of cowardice. Well, then what the fuck are you doing, Anthony Fantano? So, what else happened? I wanted to talk about... But, I mean, it is hilarious, though. I mean, it's clearly that Antifa has been going wild for years now, even when President Obama was in office. Which reminds me, Obama says, why is the party that won so angry? I mean, it's where were you when Antifa began to protest innocuous figures like Ben Shapiro on campus, when they would storm and they would beat down the doors? That began under your presidency. The Dallas shooting began under your presidency. At that point, I guess we as in the Republicans had already swept the House. And at that point in 2015, did the Democrats control the Senate? We had both houses, that's true. So it's understandable that they would drive them to a frenzy, but nevertheless, they controlled the executive. And you had won re-election. Same criticism could apply to you. And I mean, at every level of analysis, it's a silly, a very, very silly observation on his part to make.
Are you familiar with Matthew? You're familiar with that Matthew Iglesias, right?
He's a total fucking moron is what he is.
So recently, he's a very prolific tweeter, and recently he's deleted all of his tweets.
I replied to those.
This is what he said before he deleted everything. I think the idea behind terrorizing his family, like it or not, as a strategy, is to make them feel some of the fear that the victims of MAGA-inspired violence feel, thanks to the nonstop racial incitement coming from Tucker. I agree that this is probably not tactically sound, but if your instinct is to empathize with the fear of the Carlson family rather than the fear of his victims, then you should take a moment to reflect on why that is.
So, I mean, that's in one part extremely condescending, but I feel like I almost don't have to comment on his choice of words. He uses the word tactically, strategically. His misgiving is not with the act itself. He doesn't give a fuck about political pundits having to be afraid for their lives. He's openly sympathizing with them being afraid for their lives because he is expressing in muted terms, because he realizes how fucking unpopular that is, that it's harassing people for expressing their opinions is morally wrong, or at least perceived to be. And he's signaling his agreement with the argument that it's right to attack people, to express, to make them feel the fear that the immigrants are feeling themselves. Now, and he can't see the distinction between people who criticize illegal immigration and the reason that illegal immigrants themselves are persecuted, whatever your stance is on as a matter of policy there. Even if you're an advocate of policy, you can realize that ICE has a legal impetus. ICE has a legal, what is the term?
Mandate.
Mandate, that's correct. A legal mandate to prosecute and enforce the law, obviously. What mandate, Matthew Iglesias, do they have? What?
Do you think there is a similar sort of sympathy for violence among right-wing pundits? Because you'll find that Matthew Iglesias
is obviously not. There's obviously not. I mean, he can say that freely because there are no conservatives who do this.
Well, the reverse is true in the case of Stephen Colbert, who denounced it, and you can see the responses. I mean, Colbert is a very he's one of the most popular accounts, I'm sure, like politically, surely. And all of the responses under his tweets denouncing it was just shut the fuck up.
So what you see at the top crust of pundits are people who are obviously elites, so they know sometimes they're, I'd posit, purposely blind to the public perception of what they say. But in this instance, they realize that endorsing the harassment of other prominent figures is not A, a good standard to set for their own sake, and B, the fact that it is obviously immoral. They're not stupid. They know that that's immoral. So, you know, they can say that. But their followers, the lower crust, who are not as smart as they are, and are less scrupulous morally, and who are already, frankly, they're just the products of their making, though. They're people who have been told by the likes of Colbert and by the likes of, you know, Iglesias and various other, you know, Vox, etc., this entire consortium, this entire class, that Trump is a racist who's unduly persecuting innocent minorities. Why the hell wouldn't you harass anybody who supports that when that's what you've been fed? And then now they've created this climate, and I'm sorry to use that line of argument, but it seems to me that they've created that climate and they want to back away from it and say, well, I mean, I know that Trump is basically a Nazi, as we've repeatedly joked that he's the orange Hitler, but, you know, I guess harassing his sympathizers is okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. So it sounds disingenuous to people who follow them. So Mueller's wrapping up his report, apparently, which is going to make this even more riotous, especially if it doesn't find much. Donald Trump Jr. is afraid that he's going to be arrested.
So here's a little hypothetical for you, Christian. So you have your pundit of the
rankest variety
very prominent variety of Tucker status, and you live in Texas where the laws are very lax in regards to firearms, and Antifa decides to enter your property and start banging on the doors and doing essentially what they did to Tucker.
Am I at home?
You're at home and you have a AR in your disposal. What would you do?
Well, I mean, I would hope I'd hope that at that point I had jury-rigged it to be fully automatic, such that I can just blind fire outside my doors and slaughter them. I'm just kidding. That would not be legal. That would not be legal until they breach my doors. So what I would do is so as to infuriate them.
Is that true in Texas, though?
I don't know. I don't know the law in Texas. Yeah, I don't know the law. I know here. Here, that would not be legal, and that's likely not legal. It's likely not until they violate your property. Although it would be something for the courts to figure out. Luckily, they're dead. They have no representation. But I mean, I, just to be on the safe side, if I weren't acquainted with the laws in Texas,
I murdered 30 teenage kids.
No, what I would do is what I would do is I would just to enrage them and to ensure that I was completely within legal standing, I would look out the window and like smile and I'd like flip them the finger and I'd like put on a MAGA hat and then, until they threw their bodies. So that's what he was doing to his wife. They were throwing their bodies at his door. So I'd wait until they threw their bodies through the door and I just pick them off, like popping zits. Popping little puss balls of Marxist pathology.
So in the comment section below, let us know what you would do.
I mean, well, don't. I mean, yeah, validate this. Tell me that I'm right. Yeah, it is a Thursday night. I'm underslept. So I'm extra zealed at the prospect of, I don't know, slaughtering Antifa when they assault me in self-defense. Finding them in a dark alley, leaving them unrecognizable because my tracer bullets had just left their brain matter all over my beautiful wife's face. Left my kids in terror because I couldn't reject my bloodlust, my Marxist bloodlust. I just wanted to replicate. It was the Japanese guy with the sword who stormed the stage and killed the Japanese Communist Party leader, the one that Gavin lionizes. Anyway, the same spirit possessed me, and I just had to do it.
I had to do it on him.
I had to do it on him. I dripped too hard. I had to be carried away. I had to be carried away in a paddy wagon because I just killed 20 Antifa. Except I'd be found innocent because they came to my house. So could you imagine? I mean, that'd be joyous.
You know what would stink though? That if like 20 of them.
That would not be joyous. This is gonna be clipped up one time in the indeterminate future where I'm just like, oh, it'd be so joyous. Yes, it would be joyous to kill 20 Antifa people who just tried to kill me and my family. Yes, I would relish in that. Unprovocatedly.
What would suck is that if one of the Antifa, like you were firing legally at these Antifa and 20 of them died, who were legally, like you could kill them. That was allowed because they are attacking your property.
And they're Antifa and they're Marxists and we live in a society.
But one of them was like right at the border of your property and then you're fucked. That would suck.
I mean, not if I shot myself first.
Whoa, guys, real rational.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rational. My commentary is rational. I think through what I say. But when it's a Thursday night and I'm drinking some mountain spring water, zesty lime mountain lime spring water, I don't exactly care about the rational. I just care about, you know, what I've seen on Twitter and what I do on Twitter. It's just, this is a funny picture.
You sound like a boomer. Just got an email.
No. Yeah, I mean, the facts are... I mean, should we make a video about the... and I ask you, personally, scandal in Florida is of such proportion, of such magnitude?
No.
It's so fucking big, dude.
So, no. Just Twitter makes it seem really big when it's... I mean, it's a big deal, certainly.
I mean, right now. If it came out tomorrow...
Well, no, what I'm saying...
If it came out tomorrow...
No, even if it came out tomorrow, I think that it's a big deal in the sense that it should be thoroughly investigated and it should, the full force of the federal government should bear down upon the state.
Okay.
But beyond
the county,
that...
But it's not, the counties, county, yeah. In the case of well, Palm Beach.
Is that even allowed? But anyway.
Not the federal government? You said the state government. You meant the state government, right?
I meant the federal government. Well, I mean... Trump himself.
Trump should walk down. He should go full alpha and just walk right into Broward County and go, all right, what the fuck's going on here?
I've got to count these. Actually, I'm not counting them myself. AIDS? Get it.
AIDS, you're doing this. And give me a Diet Coke while you're at it.
Trey Gowdy comes in. Diet Coke?
By the way, he's the Attorney General. He sets up an entire committee. He's not the chair anymore because we don't control the House. But nevertheless, he's Trump's chair. Oh, it's really depressing. I would like to talk at length about why. I mean, you guys should obviously care about this, and maybe we should fly out to Florida and storm Broward County, and you know, maybe harass, Snipes,
loomer her.
Maybe harass Broward County Election Supervisor Brenda Snipes. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But if anybody deserves it, it's her more than Tucker Carlson. At least Tucker Carlson isn't stealing elections. Stealing elections, election integrity. I feel like one party has made that a central plank of their platform. Which one? Which one would you reckon?
Demon rats.
Jeanine Pirro for Attorney General. Oh my God. I swear to God, I know, knowing Trump, who just is a troll by nature, he's considered appointing someone like Jeanine Pirro. Mm. He's definitely thought of, like, what would the consequences be if I did this?
Well, wasn't Napolitano upon really being considered upon a time?
I don't know. I think he was on a short list.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court.
So, yeah. I mean, he's more of a serious character.
No, he actually is somebody with a judicial record, I think. I haven't actually investigated his judicial record. Judicial record. But it exists at the very minimum. So that's pretty cool. I like that he has some experience in being a judge. So does she, technically speaking, but she's also, Jeanine Pirro. No explanation needed.
So what do you think about Red Dead 2?
I think that it's, in my limited playtime, a somewhat profoundly impactful game. I mean, do not talk about it from a more philosophical perspective, just as a game. It is the most realistic that I've yet played while remaining, you know, somewhat casual. So it has, it's really in-depth. It's almost every action you perform in the game is something that you would likely, that is translatable into real life. So, to explain to you, a non-gamer who is not going to rise up, it's you have to take a path that has real-world consequences, and by real-world, I mean video game consequences, whereby, you know, NPCs will respond to it. They'll recoil. I believe some guy, I've heard accounts where you were not even allowed to enter townships because you stunk so nastily. If you actively refuse to, it impacts your health gauge, health regeneration, etc. What you eat and what you drink affects your weight, of course. Basic stuff like that. You have to clean your horse. You actually have to do that.
Clean your room, too.
You have to. Actually, it's not that involved because, believe it or not, in the Wild West, hygiene wasn't the biggest thing.
And Peterson wouldn't have made it in that era.
No, he wouldn't have had much of a demand. There wouldn't be much of a demand for Jordan Peterson's podcast in the year 18. What does it take place? 70 something. No, although Peterson is an aficionado of Westerns. He's a big Western guy. I think he is somebody I think would be uniquely. He doesn't play games.
You know what we need to? If anyone that
draft,
if anyone knows Peterson and that listens to this, this would be brilliant actually. What he needs to do is do a Let's Play of Red Dead and just comment on it and play it. And that would get
views. That would be that's like the merger of two. Because he's a fan of Westerns. RDR is, if I may use the shorthand, deeply narrative driven. Deeply so. It deals in a number of archetypes, but most specifically, I would argue, the hero's journey. And, well, it's Jordan Peterson. There's no other ant.
If he live streamed that, it would rival Ninja, I would say.
It'd be instant. It would be Kathy Newman tier in terms of virality. It really would. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully someone feeds that.
Hopefully somebody does. Somebody, some fucking angel. Some, like, maybe it's his son. Maybe it's, what's his name? Julian Peterson? Yes, indeed.
Good song.
Is that a song? Which song?
With Lil Baby and Drake.
Is this? I mean, as a platform, we don't endorse Lil Baby.
Really?
Is it pronounced Babby?
No, Lil Baby. No, Lil not Baby. Bad Baby. Lil Baby.
Bad. Oh, who's Lil Baby?
He's a rapper. He's actually decent.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know if I've listened to him.
You've heard the song. Here, I'll play it.
Oh, I have?
I'll play a little snippet.
Ooh, Fantano tweets, Alexa, play With My Emotional Stability. Oh, I've heard this, yeah. Yeah. I got it. Good track. I dig it. Very cool.
Very cool, Lil Baby.
Very cool, Lil Baby. Thank you. Fetty. Have you listened to Fetty?
WAP?
No, just it's by Currency, Freddie Gibbs, and The Alchemist. It's a track.
Alchemist was a very prolific producer back in the 2000s. He was Mike Will Made It of the 2000s, I would say. I haven't heard it, but he is a very famous producer.
Yeah, I know of him. Yeah. I'm sure I've listened to plenty of his songs without realizing that he produced them. But, yeah. You know, I feel like there is, but it's going to occur to me after the fact. I mean, that's how it works. I'm going to go, holy shit. Actually, I did have a lot of plans. I did have a lot of plans of what I wanted to talk about. And I had an outline in my brain of how they should have been etched out.
You had a lot of plans?
A lot of plans.
The mom has plans.
Yeah, I have plans.
The cops have plans.
What about the internet pundits? The YouTubers have
plans.
What the fuck? Sinema wins? Dude, in Arizona, they called it for Sinema. McCaskill won initially. They did a recount, and now Sinema wins. Ding. Jesus.
So explain to the viewers who are not in tune to this.
That makes me very angry. So initially, Kristen in Arizona, Kristen Sinema was running against Martha McSally, as most of you, I presume, know. There's not much to say. There's not a whole lot. But McSally won initially. It fell into the margin worthy of a recount. And the recount found Sinema victorious instead. By, it appears, 8,000 votes. Anyway, I'm just disappointed by that. I'll have further analysis when I've actually investigated it. Well, that sucks. So I guess we lead by, we're in a really tight bind now. We were meant to be at 54 in the Senate. Now we are probably at 52 if Florida goes bust. This is something else. I'm at a loss for words. Really? Don't despair. We still have the Senate. It's cool. I'll remind myself of that in the coming days. And with that, I leave you all on a very pessimistic note.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Fuck!